Well, there are probably so many stories of dads. It's interesting, one of my remembrances of my dad, it's a very tactile kind of thing. He was a carpenter, and he would come home at night, and I remember as kids we used to run down the alley. Well, I used to run down the alley and meet him at the bottom of the alley and jump in the car beside him and stand on the running board, and not the running board, but on the side, you know, and drive the car. And his arm would be around me. And you know, I remember the smell of a carpenter who had been at work all day. There was that wood smell, there was that body smell, and it's just one of those memories, and you think, wow, that was a really fine memory to remember him. And then also, like Brian, like your dad, the tenacity to go to worship. And that was a powerful thing in our family. And so I remember those were good experiences and great memories. So we're doing that today. We're remembering fathers a little bit. And let me read to you. Here are some people, even in our own congregation, who are fathers. And there they are. And fathers do all sorts of things. You know, they play the games. But I want to read to you from the scriptures. Psalm 103, let all that I am praise the Lord. With my whole heart I will praise His holy name. Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things He does for me. He forgives all my sins and heals all my diseases. He redeems me from death and crowns me with love and tender mercies. He fills my life with good things. My youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord gives righteousness and justice to all who are treated unfairly. He revealed His character to Moses and His deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and merciful, slow to get angry, and filled with unfailing love. He will not constantly accuse us nor remain angry forever. He does not punish us for all our sins. He does not deal harshly with us as we deserve. For His unfailing love toward those who fear Him is as great as the height of the heavens above the earth. He has removed our sins as far from us as the east is from the west. The Lord is like a father to His children, tender and compassionate to those who fear Him. For He knows how weak we are. He remembers we are only dust. Our days on earth are like grass, like wild flowers. We bloom and die. The wind blows and we are gone, as though we had never been here. But the love of the Lord remains forever with those who fear Him. His salvation extends to the children's children, of those who are faithful to His covenant and those who obey His commandments. The Lord has made the heavens His throne, and from there He rules over everything. Praise the Lord, you angels, you mighty ones who carry out His plans, listening for each of His commands. Yes, praise the Lord, you armies of angels who serve Him and do His will. Praise the Lord, everything He has created, everything in all His kingdom. Let all that I am praise the Lord. Well, this is a great psalm to look at in terms of thinking about fathers, because so much of what the psalmist is writing reflects on the role of a father and compares what God does to what a father does. But in our world today, there is a great myth about fathers. And one of those is that fathers are optional equipment. You know? There are a lot of families, and fathers bring this on themselves very often. In our world today, there are, if a child was born after 1970, more than 50% of them, their fathers will not have had a significant presence in their lives, in their homes. I mean, that's an incredible number. I mean, that's the reality in our world, and it's a tough thing. I mean, there's a fellow in the States, Daniel Blackenhorn. He's written a book called Fatherless America, and he is saying that in the society in which we are living, the society is gradually losing its belief in fatherhood. Now, I mean, as we all do, we know that for single parents, we need to take our hats off. I mean, it is a big, huge job. And if you forget what it's like, you know, what you want to do is take care of your grandchildren for a day, right? And you remember, you know, what it's like to have little people and to care for them all day long. And so it's a huge undertaking. Did you know, in an MSN report, and you can go and find this yourself, but that in a fatherless home, I was trying to find the comparable things in a motherless home, where the mother has gone away, but in a fatherless home, those people living there, those children, are 5 times more likely to commit suicide, statistically. 32 times more likely to run away. They're 20 times more likely to have behavioral disorders. 14 times more likely to commit rape. 9 times more likely to drop out of school. 10 times more likely to abuse chemical substances. 9 times more likely to end up in a state-operated institution. And 20 times more likely to end up in prison. Now, I'm not exactly sure how they create those statistics, but as they are reporting them and as different reputable groups are drawn together, even if a portion of those statistics are accurate, they're profound in our world today. The Wall Street Journal, writing in 2003, said that research suggests that interactions with fathers are equally, if not more important, than interaction with mothers in a child's positive development. I'm not exactly sure what kind of things they're measuring, but the fact is that they're equally as important and maybe even more. I mean, we live in a world in which fathers really ought not be just optional equipment. But in our world, that's what's happening. Did you know that if a father's activities were measured and a father was paid for his activities, we are told that his work would be worth at least $60,000 plus. Now, ladies, you can be happy about the salary that you would get. I read one place, and I was looking for this, and it said Canadian moms, their salary would translate into about $132,000 a year for a stay-at-home mom. And if you were working and had a salary and then you added your salary on top of that, you could probably generate another $82,000 on top of your full-time salary for the work that you do as a mom. All these things being said, when I speak about fathers today, I want to honor fathers, but I want you to know that the way that God planned it was that mom and dad would be there working together. I want to give you a few other interesting statistics. And quote a couple of these. The average Canadian father, and I'll just read them as they were written, the average Canadian father typically is equally as or more free at expressing verbal affection as the average Canadian mom. The average Canadian husband actually spends slightly more time doing domestic chores, if you include yard work, auto maintenance, slightly more time doing domestic chores than the Canadian wife who works an equal number of hours outside the home. The Canadian father, on average, gives non-disciplinary physical touch to young children more times a day than the average Canadian mom. Those are pretty interesting statistics, aren't they? Unfortunately, I made them all up. But I thought they were interesting nonetheless. Well, today, fatherhood, we want to press on to some accurate things. As we read in this psalm today, being a good father, in some measure, points to God. Now, there are a lot of young children and families where, when you talk about God as Father, they cringe because Father has not been something that they would like to get close to. And certainly, you always have to be careful when you talk about God as Father with people who have been abused and hurt by fathers. But here we have in this psalm, as a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. It doesn't mean that the Lord learns how to be God by watching us as human fathers. Thankfully not. It does not mean that God wonders whether he should be compassionate and then notices a few good fathers who are compassionate and decides to act that way too. That's not what God does. No, what it means is that when the Lord is like a father to his children, he's tender and compassionate. When you see a good father, you are seeing somewhat of a picture of what God is like. Or to put it another way, God designed human fatherhood to be a portrait of himself. Those are characteristics that God wants to see in the lives of fathers. God had a son before he created Adam. God was a father before he became creator. He knew what he wanted to portray when he created. While showing our children what God is like, it means sort of on Father's Day, the clear implication for all of us as fathers is that we are designed to display the fatherhood of God to our children. And not just to our children, but to others around. And that implies that we today learn to be fathers by watching God father his children and reading of what he does. And it implies that children today learn who God is by watching us. That is an awesome and daunting task. Our children begin to learn about God by watching us. So the chain of influence moves from God, from the infinitely perfect Father, to us, the imperfect children, and he shows us what fatherhood should be like. The Lord is like a father to his children. God created fatherhood in his own image. And good fathering points to God. David says in verse 14 that fathers and the rest of us, all of us, are like dust. And that God knows our frame and he remembers that we are dust. It sort of causes David to reflect on the shortness of human life and the never beginning and never ending life of God. And how that relates to our children. Our days on earth are like grass, like wildflowers. We bloom and die. Wildflowers blow and we are gone, as though we had never even been here. But the love of the Lord remains forever with those who fear him. His salvation extends to the children's children, of those who are faithful to his covenant, of those who obey his commandments. Fathers, we need to realize that we're not going to be around forever. Our influence could be, as you mentioned your father and as others mentioned fathers, their influence continues on. But they themselves and we ourselves will not be around. And their children won't always be here. You know, it's hard to imagine that our children will grow up and one day they will expire as well. That's hard to imagine. Because as adults and parents, we don't really anticipate those kinds of things happening. And the sad thing is when our children die before us, and we experience that. And so the question a father should ask is, how can my children benefit forever from the love of God? How can they become beneficiaries of God's righteousness rather than somehow feeling themselves beaten up by it? And simply, we hear in this passage, we find that there are three things that David wrote about. He wrote about keeping the covenant, fearing God, and obeying the commandments. Well, what does all that mean? Well, I'm going to start with the second one first. His righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant. I'm doing that order. What does keeping the covenant of the Lord mean today? In your home, in your family. Do you remember once a month when we come here and we serve communion, we say, as we pass out the cup, this is the new covenant. Jesus says, this is the new covenant established in my blood. And so we pass that around. Well, that new covenant is between God and his people, and it's just as binding as the old one might have been. What that new covenant provides us from God's side is something that covers our sins, something that deals with our sins. As fathers, we know all too well, you know, the sins that we are engaged in, the sins of distraction from our family, distraction from life, doing other things. Those are all things that have their influence. The new covenant requires that we be united to Christ. And so I would challenge you, fathers, today, that you need to be united to Christ by a new birth and receive Christ as your Savior. Now, many of you have. And if you haven't, you need to find out what that's all about. He is the treasure of our lives. In that way, Christ's blood and righteousness count for us. So in verses 17 and 18 that we read, the love of God and the righteousness of God bless our children if they keep God's covenant. What it implies for today is that our children must be brought to receive Christ as the supremely valuable Savior. I mean, that's what our church tries to do. We try to do faith at home. We try to teach our children. And we try to equip fathers and mothers so that they can pass on to their children something that is lasting. Something that is more than, you know, the old Chevy that's going to rust out and die in a few years. I mean, there's got to be something more. And God has given us that and wants us to live that way. Fearing God, we need to pass that on. The fear of the Lord remains forever with those who fear Him. Sometimes we hear about fearing God and we think, ooh, that's a pretty nasty thing. Run around fearing what God's going to do to me. You know, that sort of creates that idea that God's out there with a big stick ready to get you. Well, that's not it at all. Fearing God means that we understand and recognize that God is just so powerful. He's so awesome that we wouldn't want to run away from Him, but we would want to run towards Him. We would actually fear running away from Him because He is so awesome. He promises to be there for us. So we fear God. We have the third, obeying the commandments. We want our children to be righteousness, and we want to obey these commandments. And what this simply means to us is that faith in the Redeemer must be real. It must be real. Real trust in Christ, real submission to His rule, real treasuring of the worth, of His worth. It changes our lives. It changes our lives. Our obedience, our righteousness, imperfect as it is, and we know that we struggle with that. It shows that God has saved us and that our faith is real as we trust in Him. We hold fast to that treasure. So we find out and we recognize that we are like dust, we are like grass, we flourish for a short time and then we're gone. So we have to ask the question, will our children fear God? Will they keep His covenant? Will they keep His commandments? If they do, Scripture says, the steadfast love of God and the righteousness of God will bless them forever. So leading our children, how do we lead our children? Well, I want to suggest to you that one of the great challenges that we experience is that there is this myth in our world that somehow as fathers we're going to receive regular feedback on how we're doing. Does anybody ever get that? No. It just doesn't happen, does it? I think we do receive feedback, though. And I think we receive feedback as we start to see our children live their lives for God. We start to understand, okay, so the things that your father did passed on to you carries on in your life. And that becomes the feedback that we receive. The feedback that you see when your children have those moments of responding to your love and to God's love. Does it always happen? No, we know that doesn't always happen. But it is one of the ways that there is feedback. So leading our children. And so how do we bless, or what is the most important thing that we can do? What is the one main thing that this psalm calls us to do for our children? For our children, for our wives, for our families, for our church, maybe even for our city, but certainly also for our own souls. And the Scripture begins with it and it ends with it. Let all that I am praise the Lord. Let all that I am praise the Lord. And it finally ends, let all that I am praise the Lord. And so if somebody was to come up to you and say, okay, what is a constant element in your life? It needs to reflect, I think it needs to reflect in some measure what this psalm is talking about. We need to be people who are prepared to praise the Lord, to bless His holy name. David is doing this, the first and the last verse of this great psalm, and it's continually praising the Lord. I praise the Lord. Well, blessing the Lord with our mouths, but without our soul, is really hypocrisy, isn't it? And then there's so many, very often there are people who will, in their lips, will praise Him, as we read in Scriptures, in Matthew, Jesus says, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. David knows the danger, and he's preaching to himself, as each of us need to preach to ourselves. You don't need me to tell you. We need to talk to ourselves. What is it that is most prevalent in our lives? Our soul, we need to look at the greatness of God, and our soul needs to join our mouths, and we need to bless the Lord for who He is. We need to praise Him. I want to say that there's perhaps nothing that you can do for your children that will help them to fear the Lord and keep His covenants with God and obey God more effectively than being a person in whom His praise is on your lips. It's a rare, but it's an important gift to our children. And that's what we need to do. And if it's not something that's been your practice, then now's the time. Now's the time. You know? Some people will say, well, I'm just not wired that way. You know? Well, we learn lots of things in life, and we learn things all through our lives, and sometimes we learn things for which we're not wired to learn, and we have to work real hard at doing things that are sometimes poor examples. And yet people have the tenacity to sometimes stay at the things that are poor examples. We need to let our praise of God well up from within our lives. If not just for yourself, for your wife, for your children, for your family. Well, and what kind of things? What kind of things would be important in leading? And I'm just gonna hit the highlights. You can read the verses in the first part of the psalm, the second part of the psalm, and reasons for praising and blessing the Lord. Well, it's quite simple, and this is in conclusion. The first thing is because God is sovereign. He is sovereign. Let your children hear you say, I praise you, Lord, that your kingdom rules over all that there is. That they recognize that it's bigger than even old dad. You know, and dad recognizes that himself. Everything, governments, angels, galaxies, everything is bigger. Let your children hear you bless the Lord for His great and sovereignness. Well, we need to let our children hear that God is righteous. You know, we live in a world in which there is so much injustice and so much damage in people's lives. We need to, our children need to hear us say something about the fact that God will bring justice in our world. There is so much injustice. There's that great old hymn that it goes that the wrong seems oft so strong, you are the ruler yet. And we need to, our children need to hear that on our lips, that we believe that God is the one who is righteous and rules over all. The just righteousness and justice of the Lord will be experienced by all. The last one is that God is merciful. Our children need to hear that we believe also that God is merciful. The psalm celebrates anything clearly, it's about the immeasurable mercy of God. That needs to be evident in our lives. That God doesn't hold our sins against us, but He is able to forgive and able to move us on to new life. So, fathers, and even mothers today, are these characteristics that are part of your life that you praise, and your children and your grandchildren hear you praise the living Lord. That needs to be a part of what we do. What a great God we share. What a great God we have. This morning, the kids are going to come out, and I don't know if we have to go tell them. Yes.
You can't be a father, you can't be a mother without children. And children are a blessing from the Lord, and happiest man that has a prayerful.
Amen. Amen. And you know what? If you don't have children, you can be involved in a church family where there are many children and care for those people as well. You're absolutely right. Thank you, Pat. So, let me encourage you. I think it's the greatest thing in the world to be a father that can speak to your children and encourage them and bless their lives. And there's nothing more gratifying for fathers than to see their children grow and become people of faith and people of life and people that care for our world and others. So let's just pray together. Father in heaven, we just pray today that all of our children will hear us bless your name, and to bless your name for the gospel that's spoken to our hearts. Father, we pray that they would hear that coming from our souls. We pray that they would hear that coming from humble hearts that just jump up with gratitude. Father, we pray that they would hear that from our affections for who Jesus is and how he cares about our lives. Father, we pray that they would hear that out of the love that we have for Christ and his love for us. And so, Father, we pray also that our children and our grandchildren, our families, would hear us say that we bless your name because you have forgiven us our sins. Father, help us to love our wives, our children, and our families just in the same way that Jesus has loved us. Give us that strength. We bless you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Call on the worship team to come and lead us this morning again.